Hello and welcome to the Governance Podcast. I'm Mike Simmons, the Governance Development Officer for the Diocese of Chichester, and I'm pleased to welcome you to this episode 2. We're going to bring you some of the content from the Governance Virtual Conference that we held last night on the 28th of September. So to begin, let me share with you my early introduction to the 1 hour conference. Facing a task unfinished. Now, I guess that that's hardly a new idea to any of us who serve as school governors or in education at all. The continuous changing landscape of schools and school governance is a daily reality for us all. So if you have been around looking into what's going on, just yesterday, the launch of the new Federation guidance released by the government, the DfE, for us, the latest piece of paper or downloadable document to guide us in that area of work. And today, a Labour Party pledge to provide breakfast to primary school children. It all continues to go on unabated. Well, the theme of the conference really came from the hymn that struck me, Facing a Task Unfinished. And the first line of that then goes on to say, in the title of a favourite book of mine, hit the ground kneeling. So there is an element of praying for the work that is unfinished. And then it finishes because it talks about rebuking our slothful ease, which is where it doesn't seem to fit governance somehow. If only there were some certainly ease about the task. I don't think anyone would accuse anyone in the room of or on the screen of being slothful or at ease. But my hope is that in the busyness of what we do, we'll be inspired in our commitment and loving service. I use that term loving service because that's the way the Archbishop of Canterbury described Her Majesty our late Queen relating to her service and duty. He claimed that people of loving service are rare in any walk of life. And actually, I'd like to introduce him to 42 people for whom loving service, I hope, is a reality. There are many of us who might be described by others in that way. So here we are, people of service, people who know what is expected of us, even if the detail of that can be so often quite confusing. So that was my contribution to the conference as I started it last evening. But now let me move on into one of the main inputs during the course of the session. Now, some of you may already know Mary Hawes. Until recently, she was the person to contact about children and spirituality at the Church of England. Now, she's still available. She's still with us. She still has a bigger brief and a bigger opportunity, I hope, in the future to inform us, encourage us, and establish us in some of those really important principles within our life of our schools. Mary spoke at a national conference that I organised last year, and when we met just before the summer, she offered to speak at this conference, and I was more than keen for her to do so. I did contract COVID immediately after I met her, but I don't think there was any connection. I expect her now to have a real impact on us as she leads us through some thinking under the title of Governance, Body, Mind, and Spirit. So thank you for joining us tonight, Mary, and we look forward to what you have to share with us.
Welcome. Let's see if I can get my screen sharing. There we go. Hopefully you'll all be able to see that. I'm coming to you from a very, very cold hotel bedroom in Bradford, where I'm up with the Families and Households Commission. So if I freeze, it is because I have literally frozen. It is bitter up here. I'm going to portray my age, and so will you now if you can name series. There are people who are screaming, I know that, I know that. Others of you going, I've got no idea. It's back from the 60s and I think possibly early 70s, The Prisoner. The Prisoner was Patrick McGoohan, who had been a spy and resigned suddenly and then got thrown into this village where he was a prisoner. But all the prisoners had numbers, and his mantra was, I am a person, not a number. He refused to answer to any numbers. And sometimes it feels as though the children in our care are seen, often by government, as numbers, as bits of data, as statistics. And I want to remind us that then they are more than that. They are people, whole people, and not statistics. The weird thing is that Ofsted actually recognises that. It makes my heart sing. Well, actually, it doesn't make my heart sing to think of Ofsted, because the school where I'm chair of governors is about to go through the Ofsted process any day now. But when we look at what Ofsted is looking for, it's not just looking at the academic prowess of our children. It's also asking to examine the provision for the spiritual development of them. And that makes my heart sing when I see what they're looking for. They're looking for reflection, for knowledge and respect, enjoyment and fascination, imagination and creativity, the chance and willingness to ask big questions and to reflect on their experiences. Our children aren't just physical bodies or minds, they are spiritual creatures as well. And we as governors need to think about that and to help the staff in our schools to think about that as well. SIAMS also, in the way it has re-pivoted itself, has one inspection question, which says, how effective is the school's distinctive Christian vision established and promoted by leadership at all levels in enabling pupils and adults to flourish? And the whole idea of spirituality is brought up in several of the strands of SIAMS. Oops, let's go back. The first is in the vision and leadership strand. It talks about the school showing respect for and giving dignity to all, wherever they may be on their spiritual journey. This isn't just about children's spirituality in our schools. It's about helping and offering the opportunity for all in our schools to think about their spiritual journey, to raise the aspirations and understanding that we are more than just flesh and bone. In the second strand, which is about knowledge, wisdom and skills, it talks about children learning through their progress and spiritual development. It comes out again. This is part of what a rounded development of a child is. It's just expanding their mind and giving them skills, important that those are. Human development is also about spirituality. And if I've got more than 10 minutes, I would take you back to the 1989 Children Act, which recognises that, and also the United Nations Charter on the Rights of the Child, which talks about the importance of spiritual development as part of human health. That second strand also talks about offering rich spiritual opportunities, regardless of age, and the ability to explore and articulate spiritual and ethical issues. This isn't asking something that just fits into one part of the curriculum. It's asking us to think, how is spirituality and the ability to think more deeply threaded throughout the whole of the curriculum and throughout the whole of our school life? The sixth strand of the SIAMS schedule is about the impact of collective worship. This is where we invite people to the threshold of worship and offer, without compulsion, a chance to grow spiritually for all pupils and adults, offering them experiences of prayer, stillness, worship, and reflection, and helping them to see how worship helps contribute to their spiritual development. And then the seventh strand is about the effectiveness of religious education. Religious education is about learning about religion, but it's also about providing a safe space to explore and discuss different ideas, to talk about how things affect us spiritually. So I wonder, when you think about the word spirituality, what words or phrases come to mind? You want to jot them into the chat or just jot them down on a note beside you? Because I think as part of being educators, which is really what we are, governors as well, we need to think about what spirituality means. This year six pupil, I live in Teddington, and this was from a pupil in a school quite close to me. She was asked to write about what on earth is spirituality, a question that the world has wrestled with since time began. Well, she summed it up very nicely in just a couple of sentences. I think that spirituality is to try and see light in the dark and see the light clearly and expand the light until it overpowers darkness. Hope is the roots of spirituality, and you believe strengthens your understanding. I could almost leave it there, because what we want for children is to see light in dark situations, to expand the light and the hope that sometimes seems to be almost overpowered by darkness. But I've got at least another 5 minutes, so I'm going to go on a bit further. I'm going to suggest that sometimes spirituality is like the wind. That's perhaps why we as a nationality are not very good at talking about it, because we can't grasp it. The wind blows where it wills. We cannot control it and we cannot command it. Sometimes it's just a gentle breeze, and other times it's a hurricane. But what we can see and feel are the effects of what it does to us. We can see how it changes landscapes. So perhaps it's sometimes easier to talk about what spirituality is not. Now, you are free to disagree with me, but I'd like to suggest that spirituality is not about learning. It's not another subject that has to be ticked off, and we have to learn 10 things about spirituality, and that means we've developed. Nor is it about developmental milestones. It's not about following a line of progression, such as being born, learning to crawl, learning to toddle, learning to walk, learning to run, to jump. It doesn't have those developed milestones that we expect in many other areas of life. And nor is it about getting close to the ideal. There is no ideal spirituality. It is something very personal to each of us, and yet something that all humankind shares. Nor is it linear or hierarchical. You don't start off with a spirituality and get a lot of spirituality or get better spirituality. And nor is it possible to teach. And that's why sometimes I think our schools aren't that confident about exploring spirituality, because we cannot teach it. What we can do is offer opportunities for children to come close to, as I would call it, God, but the otherness, to experience something more than thus just the physical world. So I wonder what for you might be the definitions of the words spirituality and faith. They're sometimes used to mean the same thing, but down the centuries, people have argued and discussed and come up with hundreds of different definitions. And I think we need to think, what for us are the definitions? Now, if we had more time, I'd ask you to pop those in the chat and we might perhaps discuss some of them. But instead, I'm going to give you the right answer, which, of course, is what I believe. You're free to disagree. For me, the definition of spirituality is an innate sense of awe and wonder, that there's something or someone more than just me. I believe that we are all created in the image of God, and therefore, whatever our or lack of faith, we have a sense of God within us, a spark of the divine. And for me, that's what spirituality is, that spark of the divine. Faith, for me, is our response to God when we choose to follow a particular path that makes a difference to the life that we live. For me, that's faith in Jesus Christ. But for others, that might be following the path of Islam or Judaism or Hinduism. I've also started thinking about spirituality in this way, which might be a little bit more accessible, that it's rather like the skeleton or the frame that is part of being human. I need a skeleton to hold me together, but I dress it in different ways. So for me, faith are the clothes that we choose to wear on the skeleton of our spirituality, on the foot of our spirituality. So And that means that spirituality is something we can talk about with children, young people, and adults of all faiths and none, because it is not expecting them to follow a particular path. Some of you may have come across the work of Dr. Rebecca Nye, who has done a lot of research into children's spirituality. She published a book back in the 1990s called, no, I'm going to completely forget because I haven't got the picture up in front of me. But her doctoral research was talking with children, and these are some of the things that she asserts from the conversations that she had, that spirituality is common and natural for children of all faiths and none. She talked with children in primary schools who were not picked for their natural religious bias. And she found in all the children, even those that came from homes where faith and spirituality weren't talked about, that they had a sense of an inner life. But all children won't use the same vocabulary as adults to describe that inner life. In fact, they may not use a vocabulary at all. We may need to look in their heart, in their actions, in the way that they are. And authenticity matters much more than convention. I think particularly as we reach adolescence, if you're talking about spiritual things making a difference, show me that that makes a difference. But she also said that it often comes when the deep existential things of life are being engaged with. Some of those things that we as adults perhaps hold back from wanting to discuss because for us they are difficult now. The questions of death and aloneness, particularly as you reach adolescence and beyond, identity and purpose and what's the point of this life if we're just spiraling out of control with inflation, if we're destroying our planet. These questions are spiritual questions that our children and young people are asking. So one of the things I think that we need to consider as governors is, does the staff team of our school or our academy or our federation have a shared understanding of spirituality? Has been talked about? Has the senior staff talked about it? Do they think about these things, or have they got completely different understandings that they've never talked of? And how is that applied across the curriculum and school life? Some of the practices that you might want to look out for as you go in to do governor's walks are these, which have shown that they can help develop spiritual awareness. That sense of an appreciation of nature. Stories that don't just leave moral lesson away with collective worship that is fantastic and then says, and what that teaches us is, let's let children think themselves to what might that help me with. Rituals and traditions that are not rigid but actually offer a rhythm of life. Stillness and silence, space to stop and think. Some research that's just been done by the Faith in the Nexus group said that primary school children were saying, I need time to stop and think again. Secondary school children often say that collective worship can sometimes be brilliant, but where do you talk about it? How do you actually have a conversation with your friends? Because you then just rush into the next thing. Prayer and research published a few weeks ago showed that many, many young people and young adults are in more than we think. And acts of service, putting things into action, that this is not just something that is academic, but it makes a difference to the world. So you might want to think about what are the opportunities and examples that you see around your school? Where are these things happening? If you want to think and help the school think further, go to the Faith in the Nexus project, which was done just and published just 2 years ago by the National Institute for Christian Education Research. They have animations and toolkits and posters to help churches and schools and parents think about what does it mean to help our children grow spiritually? Because our concern as governors shouldn't just be where we are in the government's eyes, but it should be about how are we caring for the whole of our children? How can we help the human health that requires spiritual growth and development to carry on? Thank you for all that you're already doing. Here's to you being able to do some more. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you very much, Mary, as always. And in fact, it fits with a conversation I was having with a newly trained SIAMS inspector this morning, where the emphasis in a SIAMS inspection on spirituality and the development of the spirituality in children is a very specific and focus during this year. So it's something to really explore. And I'd encourage you to ensure you come to the SIAMS for Governors training course that we'll be running later in the year, the academic year, but also to go with maybe with your head teacher to any of the SIAMS training that is being laid on for teachers. You can find details of all those courses on our Eventbrite. So thank you for listening to this edition of the podcast. I hope that you subscribe so that you know when the next edition is released. And indeed, I may well do that very soon with some more material from the conference. If you have any questions, please do email me, mike.simmons@chichester.anglican.org. I'd love to hear from you, and we can begin as we go on in the podcast to answer questions directly from you. So to conclude, here is Ruth Cumming, our Assistant Director of Education at the Diocese, with the prayer that she shared during the conference.
Father God, we thank you for each of our precious school communities. We hold them before you now. We pray for your blessing on every person connected with our schools, the children, families, staff, governors, and head teachers. We thank you for your faithful love for each individual. And a prayer written by Bishop George Appleton for us. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may see the chariots of fire and the crowds of watching angels and saints, the four living creatures of creation, the hosts of the redeemed from every generation, and you, standing in the place of power, directing your kingdom and strengthening every struggling follower. So, seeing you, may we be held quiet and unafraid, ready and daring to be and do and bear all that your loving wisdom allows or wills. O beloved author and finisher of our faith. Amen.